Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right now, Teek, we can kind of wrap up what was at times, for a couple of hours, an uneventful back nine of the Masters, but only because, you know, Matsuyama, outside of that one miss on 15, was just so dialed in that he made it somewhat non-theatrical. You know, it was what it was. And we're joined now by Justin Leonard, Golf Channel analyst, 1997 Open Championship winner. Of course, that sick putt in the Ryder Cup back in the day. Justin, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome back. How you doing, buddy?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, good afternoon to you. You know, you've had a little time now to decompress. We saw you all weekend on the Golf Channel. Great work. I tuned you guys in every night live for the Masters. Awesome work. And we had Brandel on the other day. And I told him that I think that you've really grown nicely into this analyst role. I think it's working for you. You nailed something before. You were talking about DeChambeau and really just how this course doesn't really seem to fit him. That's one of the things we want to get into. Let's start there. At what point, you know, does Bryson change the approach, or is he just destined to 25 uneventful Masters come for the next, 25 years or so? How does he attack this course moving forward?
Well, I'm not ready to say that he needs to change his golf game for one tournament. And I'm not suggesting he really do anything yet. It's just been two Masters since, you know, he made this transformation. And as I said, I think during one of the shows, like Augusta National, it's a moving target. That's why it's so hard to win back-to-back. It tends to take players a longer time to figure out exactly how to play the golf course and put all the pieces of that puzzle together. I think that with the amount of downhill, side hill, uphill lies that you get at Augusta National, I think with his current setup where he uses one length irons, they're all the same length in a six iron, I just feel like there's times when you've got to be able to, create. And I think it's harder to create the way he plays the game. Not talking about around the greens, but more with his irons. And so I think it's a hurdle that he still needs to get over.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I think he needs to change everything in order to do it, but it's going to be it's a little tougher for Bryson for the way he views the game, trying to make basically the same golf swing. That's the reason for the one link iron, because they're set up the same every time. And Augusta National, you got to be able to make adjustments and really curve the ball both directions. So I don't think Bryson's quite there yet.
Yeah, no, it's clear. And it's got to be frustrating for him because he's so analytical. And Justin and I had a Thuzio Masters preview a couple weeks ago, and we talked about Bryson a little bit. It's so analytical. It's got to be frustrating because there's no analytic that's going to teach him how to do it better, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Well, if there is one, he will find it. There's no doubt about that. It's just – Augusta National, as are a few other golf courses, it takes a beautiful mix of being technically sound, meaning understanding your golf swing and all those things, and then, you know, the artistry of it. And look, he bludgeoned Bay Hill. You can't really do that at TPC Sawgrass at the Players, and he played great there. He was in contention. I believe he finished third. So it's in there. It's just we haven't been able to see it yet at Augusta. And at Augusta, the margin between good and bad, you know, it's razor thin.
Yeah, there's no question. Now, talking to Justin Leonard, 12 PGA wins. He's got the major. He's got a Players Championship as well. And he's on the Golf Channel analyst. He's doing great work. Justin, I'm just curious. First of all, what was the last competitive round that you played? I want to connect something here.
Okay, let's see. I stopped playing in 2016, but I played one event in 2017.
Okay.
And that was the Texas Open.
So
it's been like 4 years.
Okay, but you still knock it around. Like, you at your club, you'll still go play a little bit here and there, right?
Yeah, I still play a little bit here and there.
Okay, if you because one thing that I've learned more and more and more about this course is that as great a job as CBS and the Golf Channel does with the imagery and the camera shots, it just doesn't really bring to life the undulations and just how tough of a course it is. If you are somebody who's won a major and was a star Ryder Cup player, if you teed it up this past Thursday from the same tee box with the same exact conditions, what is Justin Leonard shooting at Augusta like right now? Like, I'm trying to connect to the average hack, to a guy who used to be great but doesn't really play anymore, to the guys who play all the time. What would you put up right now?
Oh, let's see. Thursday, it was windy. The golf course played pretty tough. I think the stroke average was around 74.3 or so.
Yeah,
sounds right. You know, with my game today, I would have been pretty happy if 74 was the average. I wouldn't have been happy, but my guess is I would have shot 78 or 9.
That tells you all you think. Well, that's all you need to know, America. That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah.
Right, Teek?
It's a tough course, man. Wow. Let's get to the lead. Hideki Matsuyama wins. It's obviously iconic for him as a Japanese-born a champion now in the Masters. It's going to change his life, obviously. And I know everybody saw the picture. He's flying back through Chicago.
He's going, connecting flights.
But he was connecting through Chicago. You know, how does this change how we view him? I know we knew he was always a very good player, but the way that he charged on Saturday, moving day, as we all call it, and then held on to win it, you know, how does this change how we view Hideki?
Well, you got to remember, he was number two ranked player in the world back in 2017. Had a great chance at the PGA at Quail Hollow, lost to Justin Thomas, and I think that losing that tournament really took a lot out of him. The pressure that the Asian players and you know, especially players from Japan face, we can't understand it.
Yeah.
Because of the pedestal that they put athletes on in those countries. And certainly a game as popular as the game of golf is. And, you know, I'm just so happy for him because I feel like a burden has been lifted from him and probably from, you know, every past and future player from Japan or, you know, from Asian countries. You know, Dwight Yang was the first male to win a major from Asia a few years ago with the PGA. Yeah. Obviously, we've seen a lot of success by women at the highest level. But, you know, for Hideki Matsuyama to win the Masters with the Olympics coming up in Tokyo this summer, I think it highlights the game in, you know, from a world view. And also, it's going to make the Olympic Games and golf just that much more important to maybe not to people that play the game here in the U.S., but to people from around the world, it will.
That's exactly what David Duval told us. We had David on the show yesterday. He pretty much took us down the same road. So, you know, what can we extract from the snippet from young Mr. Zalatoris from Wake Forest who, you know, showed some real chops? I mean, he's got to get a little meat on those bones at some point, although maybe not. But he seems to have a great bounce and a great energy and a great mind for the game. He hits it pretty long. He seems pretty creative. He seems pretty resilient. Is this a name we're going to start seeing all the time, peppering top 10 leaderboards, or are you still to be determined with Zalatoris?
Well, he's on quite a run right now. I mean, you think of 17, 18 months ago, he's four spotting at mini tour events. he gets in a couple Korn Ferry Tour events. I think either last fall or early, I'm sorry, fall of 19 or early last spring, and played well enough to kind of get some status, kept playing well, kept finishing in the top 10. I think he had 16 worldwide top 10s last year. Won a tournament at Korn Ferry, and I believe it was in July, and then gets in the U.S. Open by qualifying and goes on that same kind of run. So I think he's going to be around for a while. I love his attitude, and talking about early in the week, he said, look, if I'm stupid enough to think I can play in the Masters, I'm stupid enough to believe I can win it. And he didn't back down at all. I mean, it was really impressive. I know he's been playing great. That's the first time I've really gotten to see him play a lot like we did over this last week. And I don't know how you could walk away and not be impressed by what he's doing right now.
For sure.
No, I agree. So the PGA Championship is up next. It's down in Kiowa, I think, in May 20th. And obviously it's a completely different setup, different, expectation. But I wonder if we're going to see some more of the bigger names play better. This year, it was weird, man. You see Dustin Johnson, he's way down. Brooks Koepka, he's way down. The season is still early. Are these guys going to rebound for the next major, which is just under a month away?
Well, I have no doubt Dustin Johnson will come back, and I think he's going to be one of the guys to beat at Kiowa Island at the Ocean Course. I don't know about Brooks Koepka with his knee, and as painful as it looked for him to walk and re-putt, a lot of the areas from greens to the next tee and then from tee to the fairway, it's sand. It's like you're walking along the beach. And I would think that could give his knee some trouble. And so I know we're, about 5 or 6 weeks out.
Yeah.
I think, and I know he's also a quick healer, and he will do everything in his power to be ready to play. I just hope that he does things slowly enough to where it really heals up. I've never heard of somebody taking too long to recover. You hear a whole lot of times about guys that didn't give themselves enough time to recover.
Yep, yeah, that is true. I wanted to throw this by. We'll talk to Justin Leonard, major champion, 12 wins on tour, Golf Channel analyst with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So all of us hacks can relate to this. There's really no better feeling, especially when you've earned it from the wife and the kids. All right, I'm playing today. I'm getting up early. I'm in the car. I've got my cup of coffee. I've got the music. I've got an early tea time. I'm seeing my boys. Haven't seen them in a while. Like, there's nothing more and I think a lot of guys feel this way too, and women, invigorating for me than that. But then conversely, there's nothing worse. There's nothing more depressing than playing horrific golf where it's going sideways, you're topping the ball. Like, we've all been there. I don't know, Justin. I watch Rory McIlroy walk around the course these days, and I know I'm not an analyst like you are, but I can read body language pretty decently, I think. He looks like the last place he wants to be is on a golf course. Are you absolutely convinced, and some of the shots that he's hit, are you absolutely convinced that Rory will recapture the magic? Because he looks like he's in a bad spot.
Well, I think he put a lot of an effort. I know he put a lot of effort into trying to get ready, to try and make a few little adjustments. You know, he just brought in Pete Cowan, one of the best teachers in the world, into his, kind of fold or his team, whatever you want to call it. And I talked with Brad Faxon last week on like Tuesday, and Brad worked with him, with Rory, on his short game and his putting. And he said, look, he's really excited. They're simplifying things. Rory has a better understanding of things. And from what I saw on Friday, he just looked frustrated. He looked frustrated. He had misses that he really didn't fully understand. And so I think it's, you know, it's a little bit, not back to the drawing board, but just get back to work. And my hope is that, if he asked me, I would say, look, I love Pete Cowan and what he does. He's had a lot of success. But don't get caught in a trap of having somebody there watching him hit balls, giving him verbal or video feedback on every swing. Mm-hmm. Because what happens in that is that you lose your feel. If he's going to work with somebody, work for a day or two in a row and then go 4 or 5 days and just do his own thing and be in his own head. And that's how you kind of, you understand what it's supposed to feel like. And when you don't have somebody there every shot, every swing, telling you how it looked or what was wrong or what was right, you develop that feel yourself. And so I'm hopeful that he'll take more that track. I certainly think he's taking ownership of things. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the best way to do it.
There you go. Justin, great stuff, man. Really good having you back on the show. He's got 12 wins on the tour. He's got the major championship, as we said. He's part of the one of the stars on the Golf Channel as an analyst. He's up there with Brandel all the time, Brandel Chambly, our other buddy. So good work, and we'll get down maybe right before the next major. We'll get you back up on the show, Justin. Cool?
Sounds good, guys. Y'all have a great afternoon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.